Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica of the New York Daily News and MLB.com.
I heard of you. I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN, and we welcome you to the Monday morning edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast, absent our great friend and colleague who has the number two book, a nonfiction on the New York Times bestselling list, Mitch Albom, Finding Chica, but yep. We will get to that at some other point. Mitch is not with us today, but Mike and I have been together,
since I was in college. Ryan was nice to me and became my big brother and mentor, and then we sat down next to each other one Sunday morning, and that lasted about 28 years.
Just 28
And now years. We have put the band back together. All right, Mr. Ryan, your thoughts on what we witnessed last night in Santa Clara, California.
Well, if anyone wasn't a believer in the defense of the 49ers or how great Nick Bosa is, specifically, but not exclusively, then that person is beyond help in terms of any football savvy or any hope of attaining any football sophistication. That was a demonstration of frightening might against one of the great players of all time. Aaron Rodgers, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, and by certain measures and by the visual measure as well, had the worst game of his professional career last night. He averaged fewer than 4 yards, not per attempt. He barely threw for 100 yards. He spent much of the evening gazing up at the sky in Santa Clara, California. Five official sacks, an early fumble that led to a touchdown. It was just a horrendous evening for him, and a show of might and strength by the 49ers.
And Bob, here's the thing. I'm not coming to praise the Packers, because you can't, off of what we saw last night, but I'm not going to bury them either. And they had a nightmare beginning to this game, and who knows what would have happened, but they gift the 49ers with a touchdown, like a gift touchdown right at the start. Davante Adams commits a stupid shoving foul when they're starting to move the ball, and then the roof caves in, okay? But here's the thing about the Packers. And Bob, here, when you're coming off a bye, you either come out all cylinders firing, or you look the way the Packers did last night. Here's their schedule the rest of the way, in no particular order. Giants, Redskins, Lions, Bears, Vikings. Bobby, they could still win out. They're going to play the Vikings, I think, in 3 weeks, and it's going to determine that division. And guess what? With what the 49ers have, they still aren't a lock to get home field. So, yes, that was a masterful performance on both sides of the ball for the 49ers. We cannot sell them short anymore. They are very much for real. The quarterback, what is he, 18-3 now so far, mm-hmm. as the starter in San Francisco? This kid is the real deal. And just when you – not thought that the Packers might get back into the game at 23-8. What do? He throws it to the tight end, who might be the best tight end in the sport right now. The Gronkster is on with Fox. And no, the 49ers, until further notice, they are the favorite to come out of the NFC, but they still got to go to, they still got to play New Orleans. But yes, on a night when the Packers were playing, Bobby, probably their biggest game in 3 years, it was the 49ers who made a profound statement last night.
And this is, of course, the first of a three-game stretch that is unprecedented in the so-called Super Bowl era, where they play three consecutive teams with an 800 winning percentage. And they go next to Baltimore.
Yeah, they're not there yet, Bob.
Which is going to be intriguing.
And then
they go to the Saintland after that. So it's an amazing stretch. And that's why it's not over. And here's an interesting parallel, Michael, in both conferences, in that you have the 10-1 Patriots and you have the 10-1? You have the one loss, each one loss, top of the division teams, who have each lost a game. the game they lost was to a team that, in one case, everybody agrees is the one threat, a mortal threat to the Patriots. In fact, many people rate them as the best team in football right now if they were to rate them 1 through 32, the Baltimore Ravens. And the other team lost to the Seattle Seahawks, who let's put it this way, no one, you look at them and you watch what them playing Philadelphia at times yesterday, and you watch them in general, and you say, yeah, well, yeah, they're worthy. Yeah, they could be playing on February 3rd, yes, whatever that night is. Yes. They could do it. So it's very interesting that they've each lost to a team. It ain't, you know, and that they're probably, they, all right, in one case, is there much of a more mortal lock in the minds of football fans than the idea that the AFC championship game will be Baltimore versus New England somewhere?
Somewhere. But boy,
but
that's
not
somewhere.
In the NFC yet. Not in the NFC. Now, if it's San Francisco, it could be New Orleans. It could be Seattle. It could be New Orleans. So it could be different places. Even Minnesota. So, but the interesting thing is that they each have that team that they've lost to that just demonstrates some semblance of mortality. Now, the Patriots, of course, have a lot more mortality than the 49ers.
And, Bobby, here's the thing about it. You know, again, in the light of the beatdown, this sounds crazy. But if the Packers had won last night, the Packers would have been in the driver's seat for best record in the conference. All right? And let me just give you the entirety of the 49ers' schedule the rest of the way. Because if they're as good as they are playing and as good as they think they are, they got a chance to prove it over the last 5 weeks. At Ravens, at Saints. What? They play the Falcons at home. Then they play the Rams. And the Rams, Bobby, they may be fighting for their lives at that point in Santa Clara. And then the last game of the season, good luck with this one, they go to Seattle, Bob. And so, all right, they've got one loss. They could still end, Bobby, they could still end up 12-4.
They could. They could, and they could, because the NFC is that balanced, and there are that many threats. They could, and I'm going to say they aren't, but based on that, but they certainly could do that. And
it's an amazing transformation, Bob.
Well, you know, who saw
John
this
Lynch?
One?
I don't think John Lynch is the guy who's going and scouting games at Boise State, but whatever scouting staff and player personnel people he has. When's the last time they made a mistake drafting on defense, Bob?
You wind up with four number one picks on their defensive front.
And they are fast. They just looked. And by the way, the Packers didn't look awful to me until they had the breakdowns in the second half in the pass defense. They didn't look awful, but it just looked like the 49ers were cut above. Anyway, that was, again, it was a profound statement game. The Ravens have a chance to make one tonight against the aforementioned Rams. But let us now go to, by the way, Ryan, I was going up to see my parents up in New Hampshire yesterday. So I knew what the conditions were going to be like because I had to cross on a ferry boat yesterday, Ryan, Long Island Sound.
Surprise,
and
it left.
I was texting Taylor Lupica and saying, should I be worried that George Clooney seems to be driving this boat? It was, and then I go, you know, I'm on 395, so I'm basically in that area, okay? And so when I got to see my pops, I said, Dad, I know you love the Patriots. This is going to be some weather situation, and it was. Bob, let's back up from something, because I thought Troy Aikman was 1,000% right, that the Cowboys needed to try to score a touchdown when it was 13-6.
Positively, I'm sitting there thinking, what is he doing? Absolutely, they had to do that, and you know, I mean, because the alternative was, okay, you kick the field goal, but you know that in order to score that other touchdown, you're going to be going some considerable distance, a lot farther than the one you had on 4th and 7, you know, and you got a quarterback who can make plays, and you got this armada of quality receivers on at least in theory, even if they weren't having great days and collectively, but one of them could make a play. Yes, I think it was it was a big mistake. And, of course, that leads us to Jerry Jones's post-game comments. We'll get to that in a minute.
All right, let's get to him right now. Okay,
let me tell you,
if you think this was a ringing vote of confidence for his beleaguered head coach, Bob, okay? The bottom line is that it was a tough challenge. They know how to play this game in this weather. Their team was masterful. Their coach was masterful. It was a significant setback for our team. We need this win. We needed a win against an opponent like this, and we haven't had one. And he goes on, I think you're going to get, this is so great. This is really great. I think you're going to get out coached during this era when you come to New England. I do. I think you are. I give him his, not do there, but it's just what you're dealing with. My point is, don't get yourself in a spot where you have to come up here and beat him and beat them on a day like today. Don't get in a spot where that's determining what you want to be about, where that's determining where we're going. And what he's saying, Bob, is that he did not think, what was the old line from, was it Dale Royal? He can take urine and beat his urine.
I don't know. You know, so many people get credit for that one, but whoever said it, yes. Tizen and beat urine and urine and beat his.
I don't think Jerry was saying that yesterday about his coach, Bob, was he?
Wow, what a thing. I mean, it's got a lot of tongues wagging in the league. I know that. I heard Mike Tannenbaum this morning, and he's been around the block.
What did he say? I did not have a chance to watch.
He said that you can't do, you don't. He said that is a, his constituency, he says, were the people who are out there to replace Jason Garrett, and who's going to want to go work for a guy like that? And then they say, well, they'll throw buckets of money at him. And they say, wait a minute. We were talking about people who, this is Mike Tannenbaum saying, who will have options. And why would you exercise that option if your boss is going to treat you like, do something like this to a coach? This is, he said those things, you take your coach aside behind closed doors. You don't do it in immediate aftermath of a game like that. You don't hang your coach out to dry like that. That's what he said.
Ryan and Bobby, I really like Jason Garrett. I've had the chance to spend time with Jason Garrett. There is no nicer man in the profession than Jason Garrett. How he has lasted this long there is beyond me. And Bob, have you noticed the stories coming out of the big bad city that the Giants... the Giants, who are a dumpster fire all by themselves, might be interested in Garrett if they end up banging Pat Shurmur? On what planet?
I don't know. Just tells Mike, you've observed the thought process or the ongoing workings of the Maras and all the.
I went to Boston College with John.
All right, so I don't know where that's coming from necessarily. No, I don't know. But the answer, you alluded to what Garrett's ongoing employment by the Cowboys. People are shaking their heads. Look, he's had this incredible support from Jerry, despite the fact that they continue not to win playoff
Bob.
Games.
Bobby.
He's had this support over the years, but this is like, wow, what? That's an amazing. Well, of course, Jerry Jones is used to doing things his way and saying of it. Is he that addicted to the camera, by the way, that he has to feel compelled to do this?
And Bob, they have talent.
I'm asking.
Okay, they are. They have talent. No, he's a child of Steinbrenner. This is a phenomenon of the last half century in sports. And George Steinbrenner started it. I mean, didn't look and sound this way till George came along.
They didn't give routine press conferences. There was an event.
Bobby, it's like I always say about Lauren, there are transformative people. Steinbrenner was transformative. Remember, when Lawrence Taylor came along, nobody knew who outside linebacker. Nobody would have ever thought in a million years that outside linebacker was going to be a glamour position in the NFL. And then he came along and it was. So George begat Jerry Jones. And all this time later, he gives that media scrum speech yesterday, and it's now they got a game on Thursday. It's all anybody's going to be talking about for the next year. Okay, we talked about the Cowboys.
Let me just quickly say, that's exactly what Mike Tannenbaum said. He said, rather than focusing the attention on the preparation for an important game on Thursday night, the staff now. He said, you know what, when this is, I'm just have to, you'll have to hear this, you'll love this. Mike said that what happened when that happened yesterday is that the whole building, people are calling their wives and their agents, worrying about, are we going to be around by Christmas?
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, that instead of getting ready to play this game on Thursday night. Okay. There you go.
All right. Now let's go to your team because Bob, they have won two rock fights on consecutive Sundays. They won a rock fight on the road against an Eagles team that about 20 minutes ago beat them in a Super Bowl. And they won a rock fight yesterday in those conditions at Foxborough. And I know, all right, let's talk about the offense for a second, because what the defense can do was quite obvious. And by the way, Bob, I think we are in agreement that Matthew Slater is going to go to Canton as a special teams player someday. I honestly believe that.
Oh,
I honestly.
If anyone ever will, I mean, I guess you know, there's a couple.
As a special teams guy. But Bob, here's my question to you about the offense. How much better does it get when Sanu and Dorsett are healthy?
It gets definitely gets better. It gets better
incrementally better or marginally
no, I don't know.
Somewhere
between incremental and very. I mean, significantly. I like the word significantly better, for sure. And the one encouraging thing in the last 2 weeks has been N'Keal Harry, who caught three passes last week in his NFL debut, and who made his first NFL touchdown yesterday. A very memorable one with a really nice professional acrobatic catch in the corner of the
pretty
end zone.
Pretty good throw, too.
Yeah, it was a professional collaboration. An excellent throw and an excellent play utilizing his physical skills that they've been waiting to get to see used. He's 6 feet four and strong, and they don't have any other receivers of that ilk. So he may now factor into things. I think and Brady gave him the old pat in the head and gave him a big smile. And, you know, kid, thanks for joining the club. 75th, by the way, Mike, 75th guy to catch a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. 75th guy. They actually showed a little whisper of a running attack yesterday. It was Michelle's best game in weeks. I got 86 yards. He had a couple runs. But the fact is that this was the most predictable game of the day. The only way the New England Patriots were going to win that game was to have a low-scoring game featuring an ironclad defense, some big special teams play somewhere, and just some little burp of an offense when you needed it. That's exactly what it was. The block punt leads to the only touchdown. The defense overall holds down a high-powered offense team, and they get the one play they needed. Otherwise, we might have been kicking a field goal, and then they do lose that game. But they got the one touchdown they needed. That's the only way they were going to win the game, and they can win the game that way. My question to you, Mike, is how far can you take this? I mean, can this formula— To the Super Bowl. Now, we've seen two teams. Would you agree that we've seen two teams in our recent, in the 21st century win with that basic formula, namely the Ravens and the Buccaneers?
Basically, that was another one. I got another one. How about last February's New England Patriots?
They won
a Super Bowl 13-3.
13-3, right. You're right.
And it looked like they were wearing, you know, leather helmets, and they in an odd way. I was talking about this with my pops yesterday, who's a great Patriots fan. They've now reverted back to Belichick's defensive roots because they were an offensive team for a long time, Bobby. Long time. He got with the, you know, he got with the program. He saw the way the game had changed. He changed with it, and now he has reverted back. Part of it is out of necessity. Part of it was Gronk retiring. Oh, by the way, let me ask you about Gronk, by the way. Who was he talking about? Was he talking about Belichick or Brady?
Show discussion here this morning, Mike.
Big time. Big time.
it was very cryptic.
How you can't be happy when you're 9-1. I mean, who was he talking about? Was he talking about the coach or was he talking about the quarterback?
See, I'm thinking, I don't know. The vote, some people think it was a 50-50 vote, I mean, around here. I heard
I happened to hear it on talk. I was listening to it on two different stations today. Okay.
Well, I was watching when he said it yesterday, or at least unless he said it more than once. I did see him on Fox saying it and exuding, showing all this wonderment that people were upset because they're 9-1, which I'm thinking, hey, you should be a little more sophisticated than that to understand why they're doing it. But then again, he's Gronk. I don't know where he's coming from. But no, that's a great question. We don't know, Mike, which one he was referring to more. Maybe he's talked to Tom, and Tom has expressed this. You know, I mean, that was one thought that he's clearly. So the question was, who is he more likely to have actually spoken to in the last week, Belichick or Brady? And the consensus feeling was
it's Brady, right?
So
right.
Maybe he's reflecting what Brady thinks.
It's the first time he's been really kind of interesting on television because he's got those crazy eyes. You know, when he looks into the camera, right? You're thinking anything could happen now.
Absolutely. Just
you talk about leaning forward, except you don't have to lean forward because he's talking so loudly. But that anyway. All right. But Bob, I think they can do this. I do believe they can do this. And it may come down to this question. If the Ravens got Belichick once, can they get him twice if the next game is in Foxborough in January.
Well, I guess they can, although, you know, they got to figure out, they're going to override Jackson, that they're not going to be able to stop him, but they're going to hope maybe they can keep him in the 20-21 point range. And then hopefully that offense will have smoothed out a little bit between now and then, with the presumed return of Messrs. Sanu and Dorsett, and also the improvement of Harry. And also, by the way, one other thing, it's clear to that Julian Edelman is still impaired. He's got a shoulder problem. He did make a couple of clutch catches yesterday, but they said he was always seen, you know, manipulating the shoulder during the day. They can't win without him being help. Being at top of his game. How stunned would you be if there's anyone else showing up?
Right now, I would be extremely stunned because the Chiefs can't play defense. You know, the Texans, I do not believe in. Maybe they can rouse themselves when the Patriots go down there next weekend. No, I think we're looking at a two-horse race. And guess what? You know what? Lamar Jackson has passed every single test, Bob. Now he gets another one in prime time tonight against Aaron Donald and them. So this will be worth. All right, a couple other games. Before we get to college football, a couple other games. How about what my Jets, Jets did to the Oakland Grudens yesterday? Holy crap!
You know, not just that they won, but 34-3 was a stunner. Now they've suddenly discovered an offense. 34 is their new norm, and Darnold. You know, everyone laughed when he said, you know, we're not out of this, but you know, mathematically they weren't out of it, if they were to win out, you know, we all laughed at that. Well, you know, until they lose, they're on their way.
They could win five in a row. They could get to six.
His prophecy.
They could get to 6-7.
Yeah.
Right?
So you tell me. I mean, I didn't see this game. I just
The kid is the real deal. I know that we had a lot of fun. He hit a bad spot. He started the season with mono. It was like a perfect storm of bad stuff. Then the mic picks him up saying it feels like he's seeing ghosts against, you know, guess what? Most quarterbacks have in those circumstances. Bob, it's going to be a debate for a long time. Darnold or Barkley?
Oh, yeah.
Darnold or Danny Jones? I'm telling you. I think Darnold is the real deal. He's 21 years old. He's just a baby. Yeah. And other things, Bob, Seahawks, you know, they keep on keeping on, Bob. You did? See, I didn't watch a lot of that one.
I watched it, and you know, it was uneven. Russell Wilson made one gorgeous throw on the old we used to call it spot pass play, you know, but on the trick play, the pitch back, made a perfect throw. God, you couldn't be better for a touchdown. One step before the guy goes out of the end zone, but he also overthrew. He missed one of the easiest touchdown passes he'll have if he plays as long as Brady. He may remember that afternoon in November of 2019. When he could have underhanded the ball, you know, like the pitcher throwing the first base, and overthrew his wide open receiver in the end zone. I mean, he'll see that in his dream. But anyway, they won. The Eagles, Carson Wentz is the issue there.
Yep.
Carson Wentz has regressed badly. People wonder, you know, the hand, is that, you know, is that just a convenient excuse even before the hand? But the Eagles are spinning their wheels right now.
Yeah. All right. Before we get off the Monday night game, is there a chance that the Rams may rouse themselves, including with their quarterback? Jared Goff must be happy, Bob, that there's a Mitchell Trubisky in the universe right now.
Oh.
Because everybody are talking about that number one pick instead of talk about a guy who's taken a step back this year.
Yes,
Jared Goff has taken a step back.
You know, suddenly this game tonight, I'd be stunned if the Ravens don't win. I mean, I don't think the Rams are worth. I'm not taking them seriously anymore. It's the only way I can phrase it. I'm just not. I'm no longer taking them seriously. You know, that it's a mirage that they think that they were the team in the Super Bowl only a few short months ago. The way they are looking, I think this is. You know, I just think there's just going to be another notch in the belt for the Ravens. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't see. There's just nothing to indicate that they're going to rouse themselves, or that Wentz or that Goff is going to snap out of it.
One other thing, and I know it's a he said thing. Was it not as inevitable as the tide that we were going to hear from Myles Garrett's side of this thing that a racial slur was involved.
Well, I'm sad. It's so uncomfortable.
Were you surprised?
Not shocked. No, not surprised. I mean, you know, it was a week after the fact. You know, we got, ladies and gentlemen, you have two white guys talking here, and it's always dangerous. So we're going to, you know, but the fact, even his own teammates said they didn't. He just said nothing about that at the time. That's all I know. I mean, it's so regrettable. I'm not going to say anything else. It's regrettable that that has been introduced, that it has to be introduced into the conversation. If he's telling the truth, then shame, obviously, on Rudolph. But, God, we don't know. No, it's just, I don't, I, it, but the, it just doesn't look too, you know, 1,000% plausible based on the gap in time here. But oh, what a mess! You know, this it was a bad enough situation anyway, and this absolutely makes it even worse. You know, to discuss.
Before we get to a very big night in the desert for our old friend Herm Edwards, this from our sponsor Keeps. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The good news, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. If you're ready to take action, a doctor can get the right Keeps plan for you. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. Say goodbye to the inconvenient doctor office visits. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms and no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Prevention is the key. Keeps treatments really work. They are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save, so act fast. Go to keeps.com/reporters to receive your first month of treatment free. That's KEEPS.com/reporters. Ryan, Justin Herbert, not so fast on him being the number one pick ahead of all the other guys. He giveth, he tooketh away, and then, oh my God, Bob, there's a young quarterback that Herm Edwards is coaching at ASU that was something to see on Saturday nights.
Well, that was an interesting season that they're having, and that was I won't say came.
They lost four in a row. They lost 4 games in a row.
Lost 4 in a row after a good start, and a lot of close games involved both ways over the course of their season. You know, a very intense season in that regard. But this was, it was a very important game
and a fun game, Bob. A fun game to watch.
I love violent momentum shift games in any sport. I love as much, even more than games that are tense and taut from the very beginning. I love games that have momentum shifts, and that certainly had momentum shifts.
Bob, I'm telling you, if you have people who have not seen Jaden Daniels, okay, he is a true freshman. He's whippet thin. He's got a great arm, and when it looked like they were falling apart on 3rd and long, he threw one down the left sideline. It was perfect.
80-some yards.
To quote the president, it was perfecto, Bob. It was perfecto, okay? Well, and they're out now. And now, Bob, that sets up a scenario where the team from the West that could end up getting screwed in the committee room is Utah.
Utah, you know, wow, of all things, Utah. Absolutely. They're carrying the standard now for the Pac-12, still the idea that they're in that. We'll have that discussion someday, Mike, this whole nonsense of the way the colleges are situated these days. Anyway, yes, it's a new wrinkle in the process about who's going to be number 4, because we know who number 1, 2, and 3 are, but the battle for 4 is going to be raging, one thing we know, boy, did they not? And the polls, they certainly showed Oregon what they thought. I think they dropped to 14.
All right, Bob, do you not think the members of the committee have all become Auburn fans right now?
It would make their life, wouldn't it make their life simpler?
Bob, who do you think the committee people are rooting for in the Iron Bowl? I think they're rooting for the Auburn Tigers to take the decision out of their hands about Nick Saban and Alabama, because, Bob, in my heart, I still do not believe those people are going to keep a one-loss Alabama team out of the tournament.
Even a Tua-less one-loss?
I'm waiting for Tua's kid brother to come off the bench now and do big things. Bobby, okay, listen, Georgia struggled. Ohio State finally got pushed around a little bit before they triumphed over Penn State. I cannot honestly look at that. Listen, do I need to see LSU-Alabama again? I don't, Bob. I don't. LSU went into Tuscaloosa and beat them the way they did because of a star performance by Joe Burrow. I get all that. And you could see how they could set this thing up where it's LSU playing a number four Alabama in the semifinals of the tournament, okay? But all I'm saying is they want Auburn to win because they don't want to have to face five going into four on that last weekend.
Not only that, in the brief history, and I agree with you 100%, in the brief history of this format, has there been yet a scenario in which, and I'm stealing this from USA Today today. But I love it. In which one or two is so important simply because you'd rather not play three in the first round. You'd rather play four because we know who three is.
Yeah.
And three is, I think, in a very enviable position, Clemson, because they know, you know, some people are deriding when the schedule, you know, and all that. And they're saying, you know, we're ready to play. I just think that they're in a wonderful position. And you don't want to be, you know. So,
Bob, we can talk about the ACC and we can talk about their schedule all we want. And you know, Bob and I have talked about this. The ACC is the college football equivalent of the AFC East. Okay? We get all that. However, did Trevor Lawrence go anywhere, Bob? No, I don't think he did. Did Etienne go anywhere? No. Did Dabo go anywhere? Since they beat Alabama 40-16 in the championship game, Bob, have they lost any football games?
No, and they've only been challenged once, and I don't think they're going to get challenged in the state, you know, the big state rivalry game when they play the Gamecocks, they haven't been challenged very much, and they are very, very, very good. They still have all this NFL talent that they've had ever since Dabo showed up, and they're very capable of beating anybody, and I think they're in a wonderful.
And Bob, wonderful, do you believe Georgia? I love Jake Fromm, and I know you do too. But do you believe them? Okay, do you believe in Georgia?
No, I mean if they're out, you know, I'm not going to cry about it. I mean, I don't have a great feeling about them. I don't believe in anybody other than the top three, really,
right,
ultimately. And I believe in the top three, and I think that that's great. And I'm anxious to see those games however they shape.
I thought Ohio State was ready to go for a few minutes on Saturday afternoon, Bob. I did. I thought they were ready to go.
I thought the momentum had changed,
and Penn State was coming on, and they hadn't given up. They didn't get steamrolled when they fell behind. I mean, Ryan and I, by the way, this week will be the Thursday podcast, obviously because of Thanksgiving. We're not doing it on Thanksgiving. So we'll do it on Wednesday. So we've got plenty of time to look ahead to Michigan, Ohio State, which just the football fan in me wants to be a game this year.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm always hoping for that game to be good, and it'll be. I know what it means in that rivalry, and it's become so one-sided, and all the drama surrounding Harbaugh in general, and the fact that they have turned it. They're playing very well. They're going into this game in the circumstance that they would want to, playing well. Oh yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. No question. Yeah, but I was Ohio State. The very beginning of the game, they're going to kick ass here. They're going to win. But Penn State righted the ship and made it very, very competitive.
Mr. Ryan, I want Utah to make it. I just do. Okay, I think they're a good story. It Bob, it busts the myth. Okay. That all of the usual suspects, okay, are going to be in the tournament every single year. Okay.
Oh yeah, I think it's important that they get some geographic distribution to maintain continued interest in this format. That the Pac-12 is not out of it. That the Big 12, we haven't talked about Oklahoma still theoretically in it, but we all know it take several earthquakes, I think, for that to happen. For any, it's going to come down to whether it's going to be Utah or is it going to be Alabama, almost. I have to throw Baylor in there, right? If they would have. No, I guess, but if they were to turn around and beat Oklahoma the second time,
in the
second game, I mean,
Bobby, what conversation are we having today if Oklahoma hadn't pulled off that amazing comeback in Waco in the second half 9 days ago? 9 days ago, and oh no, it's going to be really fun, and Oklahoma, I keep thinking about this, Bob. They came within half a yard of recovering an onside kick at the end of the Kansas State game, which they lost. Bob, that half a yard, may keep them out of the tournament, Yeah.
Well, isn't that the great beauty of, capital S sport? So many things like that do come into play, no matter what sport we're talking about. And absolutely. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I happen to be, I saw that, and I said, they got it. Oh, no, they don't have it. But
all right, Robert, Bob Ryan is in the media wing. What's the award you got for basketball?
The Kurt Gowdy Award at the Nesmith Basketball Hall of Fame, which is the media wing. Each year, annually, they select and induct someone from the print media and someone from the broadcast media. And I was honored and thrilled to go in 1997. And the party of the second part was none other than Marv Albert.
And, all right, listen, before we go to our basketball discussion, because we have the commissioner in a full-blown panic, which has not only prompted a discussion, but a parting shot from me, a reminder that we have a new sponsor today, Keeps. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The good news, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. If you're ready to take action, a doctor can get the right Keeps plan for you. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. Say goodbye to the inconvenient doctor office visits. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms and no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Prevention is the key. Keeps treatments really work. They are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save, so act fast. Go to keeps.com/reporters to receive your first month of treatment free. That's KEEPS.com/reporters. Bob, you have told me for some time that the current commissioner of the NBA is enamored of European soccer. But all of a sudden, a big story, something that we had heard about, became a big story, that the NBA is thinking of shortening the regular season and having a soccer-like in-season tournament. And this kind of got buried underneath all the vocals, Bob, and receding in the playoffs.
Yes, this comes under the heading of radicalization of the
Holy
NBA
crap.
Season, the NBA life. I don't know. I mean, I do know where he's coming from in this regard, and it is this infatuation, I think, that Adam Silver has with the European
soccer
world.
But a panic because of ratings, Bob.
Ratings.
When you've got what is supposed to be the hottest sport in the world, the hottest global sport, the one that the kids love, and your ratings are starting to crater, he's obviously in a panic.
Yeah, I know, and things are cyclical, if he could take a deep breath. But I don't know if anyone's pressuring him. I don't know if there's any influential owners that are pressuring him, or if this is absolutely Adam Silver's at all, swinging out of his very fertile mind. But boy, this is, I don't, all right, the season thing is a byproduct of all this load management talk and all the idea that you want the, your best, you want your players when the teams, when they get to the playoffs, to have the optimum chance, each team, because with healthy players. That's what we're, and anybody, and someone has been pointing out, if they go to a shorter schedule, it doesn't mean load management will cease. When we're still going to be infested with this, it's not going to cease. People are just going to take it into consideration for the 66-game schedule or the 72-game schedule as opposed to the 82. They're still going to sit them out for the same reasons. So it's not going to – we're not going to – that part isn't going to improve for us, the fans. It's not going to improve.
It's just such a – but, Bob, these aren't like minor things we're talking about here.
I don't know how – I just, the logistics, I don't know. Have you seen him lay out anywhere?
No.
He
floated a trial balloon, clearly. Yeah.
What day the tournament would start? When would it end? What's it going to, oh my God. I know. Do we, no, we don't need this. Adam, please. I mean, we, fine. If you just, no. I can't even, I'm babbling,
Bobby,
because I'm stunned. I don't know what to say.
Bobby, before we get to parting shots, I want to ask you this. And I think that this has been a factor for a long time. And I, you know, Stern used to dismiss this. Silver kind of did too. I think the fact that they have not had a competitive team in New York City for nearly two decades now has hurt the overall brand. I actually do think that. I mean, the Lakers go away, but they always come back. They always come back. All right. The yep. Bulls carried everybody for a long time. And I talk about this in the parting shot. There have been three great, you know, attractions. I'm putting, okay, not great players. Larry Magic is one, Michael's another, and LeBron's the third. Okay. And it sure would help if the Knicks weren't a professional sports wide joke, which they are. Again, and do you not think that it hurts of the NBA?
I do. I felt this way, Michael, for a while. Absolutely. I think that it's clear New York is a polarizing entity in any sport, and to have the Knicks good brings people, you know, under the tent both ways, and it's good for the league. And absolutely, I don't think there's any way anyone can plausibly or rationally deny the idea that the Knicks' demise or the Knicks' ongoing woes are not a problem for the league. I totally agree with you.
All right, listen, it's time for our parting shots. And since my parting shot deals with what Bob and I just spoke about, I will go first today.
Now, parting shots.
We've talked a lot about the NBA just now and how Silver, normally such a calm, cool guy, does seem to be in a hand-wringing state about ratings being down in his sport. And maybe they will haul off and make the most sweeping changes to the schedule and the whole format of the league in the history of a league that opened for business in, oh, by the way, 1946. But I know one thing that's going to make everybody feel better as this season goes forward and as we get into May and June. LeBron James is back in play. I'm not saying that LeBron playing the way he's playing and the Lakers looking this good this early is going to make everything right in Adam Silver's league. But as much of a show as the Warriors were when they were winning titles, they weren't the kind of show that LeBron is when he's winning titles or at least seriously contending for them. And as I just said, there have been three truly great box office attractions in NBA history. The Larry Magic Show, the Michael Show, and the King, who's carried Silver and everybody for a long time. Just remember something as Silver considers reinventing the wheel. The sport is always more interesting when LeBron is in the thick of things, and he sure is right now. Before we do turn the NBA into Man City versus Liverpool.
Mike, speaking of LeBron's reach, in Hong Kong, there was a protest sign the other day telling Hong Kong, LeBron James to shut up and dribble. I'm just telling you right now.
Oh
now,
my God.
Okay. Hey, Mike, yeah. I want to throw some numbers at you.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
34, 34, 42, 55, 46, and 45. You got any idea?
No.
James Harden's last six games? No, that's a good guess. And by the way, did you see that Zach LaVine made 13 threes the other night? Oh, excuse me. I digress.
I did, yeah.
Those numbers are the point totals for the first six vanquished foes of the reigning NCAA champs, the Virginia Cavaliers. Repeat, 34, 34, 42, 55. Wow, 55! 46 and 45. I mean, we all know Tony Bennett's teams specialize in defense, but this is almost beyond comprehension. It is 2019, and the Cavaliers are holding their opponents to 42.7 points a game. How does Tony Bennett get his kids to play this way? This hard, really? I don't know. Well, maybe I'm the only one who cares right now, but, you know, that's part of my charm. Next up, University of Maine. God help them. Hope they crack 40.
Please continue to stay with us on this podcast. We have an awful lot of fun. Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us comments. We doing it twice a week just means we get to have this much fun twice a week and to cover way more things. So, Ryan and I will be back on Wednesday. Mitch will be back next week. We will wish you happy Thanksgiving on Thursday. But until then, for Bob Ryan, this is Mike Lupica.
And buy Mitch's book, Finding Chica.